This is a Niche Radio podcast. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or log into www.nicheradio.co.za.
Welcome to the Come Join Us podcast channel. I am in the wonderful Cape Town this week, busy with events, and I thought of it best to dial up a good friend as well as a previous colleague, Arno van Jansen van Rijsburg. As I know,
correct.
Yeah, correct. Arno & Co. has got a brand new restaurant up in Kloof Street, and he is one of the top chefs to look out for in Cape Town when you ever visit here. And I thought it would best today to come and join him, seeing that I did my practical with him in the industry as well while we were at ICA. Arno, it's like a meet to
you. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is amazing. I mean, I haven't seen you in ages. I think last time I was with Graham Shapiro.
Yes.
At Sonnenberg's.
Yeah, that was a long time
ago. Geez, that is like 15 years ago,
yeah.
Easily.
It was still Sonnenberg, Goffman and Golombek back then.
Yes, it changed completely.
Yeah.
So what's been happening? I mean, where you've been and what's happening and how did your journey start?
Been in the kitchen most of the time. I haven't really left. That's kind of where it stops.
Yeah.
Before we opened Jansen & Co., I was in Franschhoek for 6 years at Maison, the kitchen at Maison.
Okay, so part of the Valence Group.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, and how long were you there for?
Six years.
Yeah, that's a while. Mm. Yeah, and now they've diverted and they've opened up.
Yes.
But Maison has changed now. It's not too...
It's now a chef's warehouse, one of Liam Tomlin's brands.
Yes. Which he's got quite a few as well.
Yes, yeah. They're doing very, very well.
Yeah, okay.
Interesting
and then,
concept.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And then what inspired you with Jansen & Co.? What brings you here and what's your inspiration behind it?
I love Cape Town, number one. So that was always the idea to open up a restaurant in Cape Town. We were looking for a nice premises with a decent amount of space, which we have now for our charcuterie and cheese making and fermentation. Also, we have a lovely courtyard where we grow a lot of our herbs,
yes.
Some vegetables, some spices, some things like that.
Right.
We're just finishing up our outside bar area.
You told me about your wall you're busy with.
Yeah, the bar. The tiles for the bar just arrived now, so we'll finish that probably this week.
Okay, great. So you'll be ready up and running for season.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us your food inspiration. I mean, what's inspired you and what do you focus on mainly?
So we do everything ourselves from start to finish. We focus at the moment very much on provenance of ingredients because every ingredient tells a story and we get inspired by our ingredients. That's very much a part of our ethos.
Okay, whatever's in season you take
exactly.
And then you sort of...
We work with about 4 different vegetable suppliers, 2 of them in Cape Town, 1 in Hout Bay, 1 in Stellenbosch, and they are our key suppliers. We feed our guests with what they have to offer, basically.
Okay.
So it's only peak seasonal ingredients.
Okay.
Our animals that we get in is whole. We butcher everything. We make our salamis, our hams, all of those things, mainly from Prisca in the Northern Cape and from the Boeferberg as well.
Amazing.
We get our shop.
So you know Bertie?
Yes, that's one of them, yeah. Bertie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Divine, yeah.
Yes,
because he does amazing wheat and everything as well.
Yes,
you make use of it.
Everything he has, we have.
Amazing,
yeah.
I'm so glad he's getting into the restaurant scene.
Yes, yes.
Because he's been a long time that he's been struggling to get out, he's organic.
But it takes time. I mean,
totally.
it's not like it just happens overnight.
No.
So it takes a bit of time, especially this day and age. Like everyone says organic and free range and whatever. Sustainability is just used way too much, and some people don't even actually know.
I don't think people think about it too much.
Yeah,
and really using everything from the little edge till the end, every single element that you eventually use.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me, what do you love about this industry?
It is ever changing, ever evolving, but the fundamental basics stays the same. So if you have a strong platform or a strong fundamental sort of base that you have, well, that you base all of your techniques and ingredients and ethos on, then it's a good base, but you can always derive from it. There's so much opportunity in the industry. You know, it's not just cooking food is just a small facet of it. Like, especially chefs these days have so much power. They've got so much following from media and people watching them on televisions and all those sort of things, what we're doing today. Mm. I mean, people are going to listen to it. And, you know, there's a bit of hindsight that they need to actually be responsible in what they do, how they source ingredients, how they use ingredients, how they are, how, like, just be a good chef, be a good person, and think of years to come.
Absolutely.
You know, how are we going to change things?
Sustainability.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Who's inspired you?
Who? Sure. A lot of people. Staff. My wife, Liesl, she's a big inspiration in my life.
She is your suppliers, go-to person.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, friends, family, other chefs. It's broad. It's
but really, what makes specific. You keep going? That's the main question.
The drive to want to make things better, to want to make the industry better, to want to teach the younger generation of chefs or just people in general. I mean, the world is in a bit of a funny place at the moment.
Turmoil,
yeah. And like, we need to just try and change it, try and change our behavior a little bit.
And do you often travel?
Yes, very much.
Where do you like to go?
Sure, anywhere, really. There's no place I don't like going. Every time we travel, we try and go to a different place, a different city, a different country. Because there is so much to see. And so
does
much
that
to
draw learn. Inspiration for you?
It does, a little bit, yeah. I like the way people approach their traditions and their beliefs behind their traditions. That is what I travel for, just to like enrich myself.
And what would you say, and I ask this often, but what's your opinion on where we are at standard with what we're doing in Cape Town, South Africa, with food, with wine, with drink? What would you say, where we at?
I think we very much on standard with a lot of countries. I mean, we are a third world country after all. The main concern for me is the education and training. I don't think the younger generation is getting the time required or getting the knowledge required for them to go further. That's why a lot of them leave the country and go and work overseas for years and years and years and they come back. So the education system and how people are trained, like, you don't get chefs that do an internship in South Africa. They stay for maybe 6 months or a year and then they move on. And then they think they have what it takes. Go overseas and then they want to be a sous chef for a restaurant.
Totally.
So that's where for me personally, what I've seen over the years, that's kind of where the gap is. Like, our education system, how we go about training our younger generation of chefs that's coming in.
So you think there's a big lag, is it?
Yeah.
I've heard that more than twice now from a chef. They're struggling to find proper trained chefs. And 100%, I'm with it that people are over-eager and they want to do stuff and everything, but I think, have you ever realized that the time frame, everyone wants things now?
Yeah.
And they want to be educated and they want to be a CEO now, not tomorrow, not over 20 years.
Yeah,
now.
That's a lot of work. Like, if you just use your common sense.
Yeah, but don't you think with generations of people, how are they growing up now, that they've got that mentality of now?
But how? Why? How did that happen?
Everything is faster. Everything people want is faster. Mm-hmm. It's quite tricky, I think, when it comes to the slow movement specifically, that chefs, for example, are bringing back. They want everything to be, you know, perfectly curated. Mm. Where it comes from takes time, like that. And then getting the amazing end result.
Yes.
People want amazing end results, but they want to go two steps and then there.
Yeah, yeah. They don't want to invest the time required. Yeah.
And it is frustrating. I can imagine for you as a business owner, but the same with me as well, employing new people. Mm. I must say it's all about attitude, I always say. It's how they approach it. Mm. But I do agree with you. It is tricky with people that these days they want to get things instant.
Yeah, instant gratification.
Okay. And tell us, why should people come to your restaurant? That's actually what I wanted to ask you. What makes you different?
They will have a unique experience. Like I said earlier, we produce everything in-house. We've got quite a variety of Japanese fermentations that happens in-house. We make miso, soy, all the different sort of kojis that you can think of with our local grains. That is grown by BioBatty, some of his stuff. Some grains we get in Hot Bay. We have an extensive charcuterie program. We're busy building up our stock of the cheeses that we produce in-house as well, with Gay's Guernsey raw milk that we source from her in Prince Albert.
I see. It's quite widely sourced, your product.
It is. But still, it's in Cape, well, it's in
the
South
Cape
Africa.
It's in South Africa.
So, I mean, we source everything from South Africa, everything. There's very, very little, like maybe a 0.5% of stuff that you don't use.
How do you go about sourcing your sources, pretty much?
Sourcing our sources?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I don't know what else I can say, but knowing, do you read, do you go on a
research,
trip? Do you go and research? How do you research it?
If we can go on a trip, it's very seldom that you can actually do that. We do try and visit farmers and suppliers if we can. Sometimes it's not possible, so then a phone conversation or via email, but generally there's like a solid half an hour conversation before actually anything goes.
But is there like a chef community that exchange suppliers with each
sometimes,
other?
Sometimes, yes.
Actually?
A lot of the suppliers at the top 50 or top 20 or top 10 chefs, whatever you want to call it, use. Some of them are very...
dandic.
No, they just... The quantities are not as much. So
Then they can only supply...
Only supply two or three restaurants, if that's the case, because they're not commercial.
Find that tricky sometimes?
No, not at all. I find that challenging because... Well, not challenging. I find that exciting because it challenges us. Like Bertie's sheep and Charlie's pigs. You have to get the whole thing and you can't phone in and tell them you just want to run for a survey.
No.
You have to take the whole animal. You have to take like big bags of his grain because, you know, he couriers the stuff all the way from Prisco and it costs money. So, you know, you have to make it worth his while as well. He only supplies 5 or 10 restaurants. And to get an organic certification is a ball ache. It's not
it's tricky.
It's like a 10-year process that you have to go through, and it's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, it took him so long to get that done, because you need to go deep diving into the ground levels.
And it costs a lot of money to make it as well. Yeah,
completely.
It's a long-term investment.
The new term is biodegradable, or biodynamic farming. Actually, in a way. Because then your neighbor can next to you try not to spray, but you can't prevent your neighbor from spraying or anything like that.
Yes.
So maybe it will pop up on your stuff, but not actually, and then you can't grade it then.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. So, Pillars, do you have any siblings?
Yes, I've got two older brothers.
Yeah, where are they?
They are in the Strand, that's where they work. But, I mean, that's. They're not in this business with me at all.
Yeah, what are they doing?
They are in the wood business.
They're also creative.
Yeah, they are. All of us are creative. My dad started the business a long time ago, like probably 30 years ago.
And so it's your dad's business?
It was his business.
Okay.
Now my brothers have taken it over and evolved it a little bit more. I was going to be part of that business, but I decided not to be. I don't think it's very easy to work with siblings, especially mine.
Keep the picture.
Yeah.
So where are you from originally? Where did you grow up?
Strand. Yeah.
Okay, you went to school there, everything?
Yes, school there, and then ICA was just over the hill in Stellenbosch.
Are you glad you did ICA?
Yes.
Did it give you some foundation?
It did. Yes, it did give me some foundation.
13 classes on time.
No, you know what? Actually, organizational skills in a kitchen is
key.
It's so important. And I still use it today. That's one of the very few things that I actually can take away from the ICA. Like having your shit organized and
it's true.
In a line or clean and clean as you go. Like those sort of things, that's very, very important.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's so funny these days when we do events and or I see people, I chat to people where they're from and you hear that they studied at ICA, you immediately look at them, okay, can we chat?
Yeah.
Let's do business, you know, because the thing is, it's true. It's a standard that you were setting and you were told that's the standard.
Yeah.
So you know immediately, soort took soort, as I say, that you know that that person will be able to deliver for you. And they'll get what you say, if you get what I'm saying.
To a point. I mean, I don't agree with everything that they taught us or showed us or made us go through at all. There's very few things that I can take away.
Yeah, but that's of any school, in any place, I think.
Yeah.
But the fundamentals were there.
Fundamentals were good.
Which is crucial.
Yes, yes.
Okay, divine.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we laugh. It was a Gestapo camp, but it was good.
Yes, yes.
So, tell me, what do you normally cook at home?
You're
not cooking.
Liesl cooks most of the time.
Oh, there we go.
Well, okay. That's a lie, actually. She doesn't always cook. I cook sometimes as well.
Liesl, is he lying?
Halfway. If it's summertime, we braai. Or being outside, pork equals braai.
So you like winter. Traditional?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's... We have a fireplace in the kitchen.
Okay,
yeah. A braai.
That's so good.
And we cook a lot before
on the fire.
Service and in service as well. So that thing is constantly just going. Mm-hmm. We had to rebuild it because it was fraught after the season we had now. So we've gone through two braais in the space of 2 years. So we'll probably rebuild again next year. I mean, it's a big part of our culture, South African.
It is overall. I mean,
African in general. It's a great seasoning, like flavor-wise.
Mm.
It adds a different dimension. And, yeah, we get to, like, chop down all the alien trees, basically, and use that as wood.
Okay.
We're using rooikrans only for the kitchen. And it's got a very, very unique flavor. That's the flavor I grew up with as well, on braais. So that, means
you know
something, yeah.
And different types of other techniques that you normally use, so braai being one.
Fermentation.
Really?
A lot of fermentation. I mean, we do, like I said earlier, I've studied the art of Japanese fermentation for very, very long. Tested it out for very, very long. Now we actually have it down to a T, where we can add a different dimension to our food, but still with a local flavor. We use just African grains, heirloom or ancient African grains. And looking back into like the first peoples that were walking the earth millions of years ago, they were gatherers and they were gathering legumes and those sort of things. And that it went through a fermentation process in order for them to consume it and be safe.
Yes.
Otherwise, there would be like other defects in them. So they were the first people that were fermenting all of these things before anyone else was actually on Earth.
Who inspired you to do this Japanese? I know Japanese is from the oldest cuisines and most amazing cuisines.
It's just
how did you get into that?
They've got clean lines with their aesthetics, and that carries through the food. The Kaiseki style, the different regions of Japan, their discipline in food, because they don't add a bunch of things, they rather take it away and work with ingredients that is in peak season, in pristine condition. That is very much what we do as well. And that, I think, is very important for you as a chef, as a creative person. What we do is not art at all, it is a craft. And a craft is always evolving. You can always make it better. And Japanese, for me, I mean, we call it Japanese because that is the term that I refer to in fermenting grains. But like I said, I mean, the oldest African civilizations used to do that. So it's not really Japanese, it's actually African.
That's actually amazing.
If you think about it,
yeah. I love Japanese cuisine. I think we hardly ever scratched. People don't know it here. I think they do, what you said. But I love what you said now. It's a craft that you perfect. It's not a skill. It's a skill. What did you say?
It's not an art.
Yeah, it's not an art.
Yeah.
It's a perfecting that specific skill. Tell me, what else have you been in Japan?
I have not. We're still planning to, but that's a trip we need to plan extensively. Normally when we book a trip, it's like fucking 2 months before we decide, okay, we're going to go.
Going,
and we just book everything quickly.
Yeah.
Because there is just no time at the moment.
Yeah. Tell me, whenever you book that trip, I would love to go with. I've always told my husband that I think if there's one country in the world, food specific, and amazing, is Japan.
Mm.
people don't know. It's East and West. Yeah. We know the East, we don't know the West. After the East, we don't know the West, we know. Jeez, I'm so boggled today with all of this. Listen, I'm going to ask you a quick quiz. What's your favorite book?
Hervé Thies, on the Art of Cooking.
Oh, it's an interesting book.
Or the Cooking Encyclopedia. He's got two books. It's quite a thick book.
Yeah.
But it has like all the ancient stories of how ingredients evolved and how it was used and like just very,
very old stories. Like history. That's your thing.
Yes. I mean, that's how where we are today is because of history. Like people decided we're either doing this. And they look back in history and say, okay, that was a cuck idea. They'd rather do this way to move forward. So history plays a big part in what we do now, currently, and moving forward.
Mm. Very true. And it tends to repeat itself as well.
Yeah, true. We're going to try not to do that.
Okay. What's your favorite Netflix series? What are you watching right now?
Sure. Now, I don't think I'm watching anything. I really like the series Vikings.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that.
The Nordics. It's interesting.
Yeah, brutal. Brutal, but
yeah, lots of plans.
Honest. Brutal, but honest.
Okay. And any chef that inspires you that you can think of now? I know there's millions, but if you can think of one.
So there's two, actually, that is very inspiring and how they evolved their specific regions, cuisine, and had such a big impact globally. The first one is Ferran Adrià from El Puy.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, I've never eaten there. I have met him, though. I cooked for him when he was in Cape Town.
I was about to ask you, did you meet him when he was here?
Yes, yeah.
Joel.
So he is an amazing person, amazing inspiration. And
his brother's got a place, though.
His brother's got a couple
in
of
Barcelona.
Places. Yeah. So his brother, hand-in-hand
tickets.
With him.
Yeah, is one reason.
I just think they have two different visions for cuisine. In general.
Mm.
So I find that very interesting. Yes, he does not cook anymore in kitchens. He did a thing with Massimo where they were feeding the homeless. We never trust the skinny chef. I don't know which book it was that it brought
out. Never trust the skinny Italian chef.
Yeah, something like that. So he was cooking then and he hasn't cooked 6 years prior to that.
He's brought out also a book that you can use in your daily kitchen.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
He's one book. My father-in-law's got it.
Yeah, so Ferran Adrià is, I think he changed cooking.
Completely.
He made a lot of things possible. He opened a lot of people's minds where... He said, like, cooking is not just a physical process. It's a lot more than that. And it has the potential to change people's behavior, patterns around the world. It's got a global impact on a lot of things.
Mm.
So that is what makes him amazing. And then the other guy is René Redzepi from Noma in Copenhagen.
Oh, yeah.
He's for me quite a interesting person or chef. I mean, if you look at what he's done for Danish cooking, not even being a Danish person himself, being an immigrant, he's basically designed a whole food culture for Denmark. I mean, and that's been unfolding in front of our eyes the last 15 years. He's been doing that. I mean, they, as the Danish country, their traditional food is open-faced sandwiches. And he's changed that completely. And there's a whole new group of chefs that is doing that in their countries as well. Like South Africa, we don't have a massive culinary background, I would say. We don't have a lot of... I mean, we've got Babuetian cook sisters and those sort of things.
But
we don't have a cuisine.
No.
If you look at South Africa, I mean, yes, we have history, we have roots, we have Africa as a whole, but, I mean, there's no, like, real... food sort of identity.
Mm-mm. We have so many cultures.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
But that's not a problem. That's actually
amazing.
Awesome. We just need to kind of like pin it down and say, cool, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to take it further. And this is how we're going to present ourselves on the global platform.
Well, and I think Jan sort of tried doing it.
Yes.
And he's got a Michelin.
Yeah. So, exactly. And I think that's amazing for South Africa. I mean, that opens up a whole new spectrum of people coming to SA and experiencing these things.
And the value.
Yeah, exactly.
That you get here.
Yeah.
That's one thing really that picked me up is going overseas and checking it out, value for what you pay and what you get. Now you get, but yes, you pay expenses if you really want something truly special.
Yeah,
you don't necessarily, especially if you have dollars and pounds and, you know.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, also with coming back to South Africans, I mean, we don't really travel abroad that much as a country. It's getting better now. People are getting more out there and more exposed to Europe and pricing and first world countries. So I think there is a bit of a mind shift happening slowly but surely. I mean, it's just tying all of those things together and then standing as one and saying, this is how we're going to present ourselves to the world. And that goes with food and wine and all those sort of things that we have to offer. Because we have amazing wines. We can compete with the best wines in the world, no doubt.
Absolutely.
The food quality as well. I mean, the amount of abundance of amazing ingredients, seafood, game, good quality.
Everything.
It's amazing.
I know.
It's incredible. There's so much opportunity here.
I actually see there's quite a few chefs from overseas,
like
Italian, from all over, that's starting restaurants in Cape Town.
Yeah, it is. It's been like that for a long time, because there is so much opportunity here. I think what stunts them is the work ethic for me is a bit of a issue. I mean, we were saying earlier the student chefs, the younger generation, I think that ties in with the work ethic of a third world country sometimes is not what it's supposed to be. We're not as productive as we could be, but that also comes into play with education and the drive to do it and having the perseverance to actually finish a 2-year internship or a 3-year internship at a restaurant. When you can work with a chef, a very creative chef, and you can learn his whole repertoire in 3 years, no doubt, and that is going to be so much more influential in your path in creating your own sort of platform.
Long term.
Because that's how it works. I mean, you learn someone else's craft and then you start thinking for yourself.
Totally.
Yeah.
Chef, I know on that note, thank you very much for having me here.
Thank you very much.
It's awesome catching up and definitely be back to come and eat. I've told him I've sent him people to come and eat here. I have been having eat here for a while. That's how bad it is. So I'll promise I'll bring my husband and come and eat here.
Awesome.
Thanks a million.
Thank you very
Cheers.
Much. Ciao.
For more, visit www.nicheradio.co.za.